is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. This is the Blitz. We are back. Hello, good morning. How are you? Welcome in, no matter how you are listening, no matter where you are. Welcome in. It is a Monday morning after a long Thanksgiving week. Hope everybody out there had a fantastic Thanksgiving. I don't know how you spent it, but hopefully it was a good one and you managed to get yourself some good food along the way. I'm not so sure you can say the same thing about the football along the way, but at least hopefully your food was pretty good. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you. It's good to see you three here in the room. I haven't seen any of you in a week, so it's good to be back. Brandon, Chance, Charlie, good morning. How are all y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, Rick. Good to be back.
Feeling pretty good.
Tremendous.
Cannot complain.
Spectacular.
Spectacular, huh, Charles?
Yes, sir.
Ready to go.
Good stuff. I mean, good Thanksgivings all around.
Yeah. I had family come in from Oklahoma, Nashville. There's a lot of family, nieces and nephews, great nieces and nephews. It's a good time.
Had some family. Did the, ate too much.
Did you?
Yeah.
You look like it.
Oh wow!
I really meant to save that one for Charlie.
Wow,
that would have also been pretty upsetting to hear.
How'd you do? How'd you do with Thanksgiving and the keto?
I just took a day off of keto, and I'll just get back into ketosis now, starting today. But Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday. Me and my buddies started doing like an annual Thanksgiving football game early in the morning on Thanksgiving.
A little turkey bowl
and. I thought that it might not be able to happen this year because of COVID, but we were still able to get through it and get a game in, so that was always fun. I mean,
how many people did you have out there?
Adore Thanksgiving. I think we had probably 18 to 20.
Nice, a little 10-on-10.
Did you win?
Yeah, we did.
Tackle or flag?
Two-hand touch.
Two-hand, a little hard shove or a little soft shove?
You can block as hard as you want, but just two-hand touch. We got people out there that play college sports, so they can't really afford to get hurt playing tackle football on Thanksgiving.
Were you quarterback?
Yeah, always.
Always, huh?
So I would imagine that even that football might have been a little bit better than what you saw on TV. The Thanksgiving games that were part of the NFL? No good.
Yeah, because the only good one got postponed. Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask. Like, did you guys who had no stake in any of those four teams whatsoever
sit down and actively
watch any of it?
I watched some.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of cooking. I was in and out. But like we said the week before, it's like, man, we got to stop willing the Cowboys and Lions out on Thanksgiving. Like, I'm tired of this tradition. Like, let's. I'm over it.
I think
America's over it. Let's rotate the teams.
Like, no, no one cares about these teams on Thanksgiving. Can we not rotate? Can we not get some good matchups?
I care. I really want them on Thanksgiving.
You guys
really?
I want the Lions. I want the football team, and I want the Cowboys.
Why?
On Thanksgiving.
It's not the 90s anymore.
We can get rid of the Lions, but I need to watch Washington play Dallas every single Thanksgiving. That's what I want. What we really need to start focusing on, if we're petitioning to get teams out of places, is can we get the Bears to quit playing like 9 primetime games a year? It is miserable. I think that they should be punished, and next year they should only be allowed to play noon games that's not like a national noon game, just so we can all just take a year off from watching the misery that is the Chicago
I'm against
Bears.
That because then my Packers get a lot of those primetime games to,
yeah, also,
to whoop
I think
up on
that
the
you
Bears.
Guys, sometimes it feels like you guys play two primetime games a week. Like
sometimes.
You sneak in there on Thursday and then play against Sunday Night Football.
Everyone,
I'm tired of watching.
Everyone wants to see Aaron Rodgers.
Do you guys know why the Cowboys play on Thanksgiving? I mean, to go back to your question.
No, but it's like, it's just not the 90s anymore. I'm just over it. I know it's some tradition that they do, but like,
they just feel like they're... The Cowboys sounds Thanksgiving-y, like their mascot. It's like themed.
No.
It's like the Lions.
Hey, I'll give you the story. Take it, and you can get some trivia later on down the road. When the Thanksgiving tradition, you know, when the NFL decided that they originally wanted to start putting games on Thanksgiving, nobody in the league wanted to play on Thanksgiving. They thought that, you know, they didn't want to make their players and their coaches and everyone do that. But the NFL wanted to get a team to play on Thanksgiving. So the Cowboys stepped up and they said, hey, we will do it, but we're going to be the home team every single year. We'll basically sign an infinity contract. We'll play every single Thanksgiving.
They don't want to rip that up.
We will just always be the home team. So there
like,
you go.
Does that stop when...
I think that's expired.
What year was that?
Infinity.
No, when it happened.
Oh, I thought you were talking about when it ended.
No, when they signed this contract.
I don't know. When was that? The Lions began the tradition in 34, so I'd imagine it was around then.
All right, so let's just make a deal, NFL. When Jerry Jones dies, we stop that.
I really enjoyed watching Andy Dalton and Alex Smith battle on Thanksgiving.
I really don't like it when it's – I would really rather see different teams.
I'd rather see different teams.
It's not even about – every other year, maybe cool, like – Like, but rotate. Like, give me some Chiefs. Give me even maybe the Titans.
Another good Thanksgiving team.
Give me the Packers. Give me the Titans. You know, like, let's rotate.
Just anything that has
Native
Americans in it, Charlie.
What are you doing?
The football team and the Chiefs. You want them to play on Thanksgiving? I see how it is, Charlie.
Okay,
you want them both to play each other?
Let's cut that out. But just in general, I'm also addicted to the NFC East at this point. I cannot quit my tuning into the NFC East. I think it is so much fun. To watch this weird playoff
race
with Colt McCoy, Andy Dalton, and Alex Smith just going toe-to-toe for a playoff spot, that is hilarious to me, and I can't get enough
of it. Who does McCoy play for?
He is now
See, that's how much
Giants
I don't care
star.
About He's, the NFC East.
Daniel Jones is hurt and is looking to miss an extended period of time. So Colt McCoy is their quarterback now.
There are some weird, weird rosters in the NFC East right now. But even going back a second, talking about cancellations – that is something that Tennessee fans all too familiar with this week. Massive week for cancellations and Tennessee sports. You guys, as in Brandon, Charlie, kind of talked about it a little bit on your last show on Tuesday. But on Tuesday, we get the news that dropped that Rick Barnes had tested positive for COVID-19. Tennessee basketball has to forfeit what their first, or not forfeit, excuse me. They had to postpone. Or, I don't know, just cancel or whatever. Their next, what, four games?
Well, they canceled the little volunteer classic
right.
tournament.
So
that
all
they
three
had.
That were part of that.
Then they also canceled the Gonzaga game.
Yeah, and then Gonzaga and Notre Dame got,
and
pushed,
Notre Dame
got canceled due to the window.
Definitely disappointed about the Gonzaga game being canceled.
I don't know.
No, they look good, but I wanted to see how Tennessee's going to stack up against them.
I would have liked to have seen...
I'm not saying that they were going to win that, but I thought that would be a great test right off the bat.
I'm with you. I would have liked to have seen where we are, but maybe
it
not,
made them, but
maybe
it made
not
them,
the worst thing that we didn't play.
Yeah, no, they look really good.
They look pretty good.
Yeah, but maybe that's like that's the game you need, that maybe you get your butts kicked or you have a close one that like really a heartbreaker, and then that paces you the rest of the season, especially when you get to tournament time. You've already been tested.
Didn't they also just get a big transfer too, who was granted immediate eligibility?
A 5-star, like a day before the season.
From Florida. Andrew, this was 6 days ago. Gonzaga lands Andrew Nimhard, who transferred from Florida this spring and is eligible to play immediately this season after the NCAA approved his waiver Tuesday. So,
incredible.
The best just keep getting better. The rich get a little bit richer.
Yeah, no, he's incredible. Great. And then, what's his name? Jalen Mills, I think.
Yeah.
Was dropping 30 a game. He looked amazing. I mean, Gonzaga just looks so good.
Yeah, they do. So we will we'll talk a little bit today about what is coming up next for Tennessee basketball, what we can expect, and not to mention on top of all of that, it took us 13 minutes to even get into it, Brandon. It's also now the beginning of Florida Week, for better or worse. I don't know if you out there are very excited or dreading it to or
who
maybe
in their
totally
right
impartial.
Mind who in their right mind is excited about
I
this?
I don't know.
Me.
That's got to be somebody out there.
Oh, you said,
of course,
you said
Charlie.
Right,
yeah,
mind. You said
there
right
you
mind, but yeah, I'm excited, I guess.
We know you are. You can't help
oh,
it.
Oh, man.
It's like drugs for you. You
it's
can't
the last
put it
time
down.
As a student I'll ever get to see Tennessee, Florida.
Oh, you should be thankful.
That sounds like a win.
You should be thankful. That should be on your Thanksgiving list.
Last year that I have to put up with this mess.
It's so true. It's true. Tennessee, Florida coming up this weekend. We'll talk about what I guess that's going
to
look like.
Florida's about to boat race them after they played for 2 weeks.
God.
Maybe that's just the fresh legs we need.
Six touchdowns in the first half, Kyle Trask. Hold his beer. He's going to get eight.
Who's guarding Kyle Pitts?
Yes. Yeah, who?
And if we find someone to guard Kyle Pitts, then who's going to guard Kadarius Toney?
All questions that, you know, we're going to look into at some point today. Hey, we got a great show coming up for you. If you would like to join in on the show, as always, your number for the first time in a whole week, 865-546-8200. Go ahead and give us a call. We would love to hear from you today. Otherwise, we will go ahead and take this quick break. We'll be right back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz Fan Run Radio. Here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:18 a.m. Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with you. Some of the big news over the weekend was that Derek Mason was canned at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt lets go of Derek Mason over the weekend, and Brandon, some the conspiracy theorists out there say that Derek Mason was fired for playing a girl in a football game. What do you think about that?
People are really saying this?
Oh, people are saying this.
I haven't heard that yet.
I mean, I hadn't heard that, but...
I mean, the only thing
guys,
I...
No.
People, I was about to say, wow.
People are not saying that.
I was like,
What a bunch of idiots. People are certainly not saying that.
I saw that people...
I think it's just because he's really bad.
No, people are not...
I saw where people were saying that he tried to save his job with a publicity stunt is what they were speculating.
I wouldn't doubt that necessarily. But they tried to make history, and they were so
they
bad
were so bad
a football
that they couldn't even get in range.
They messed up making history.
Couldn't even get a range for a field goal or a score for an
so
extra
what,
point.
So then they had to just put her in to kick off one time, right?
Yeah, and it did not go well. It did not go well at all.
Yeah, well.
It was a very Vanderbilt moment to kind of have the spotlight for that moment and then totally whiff. And it's not her fault. Like, I think there were a lot of people. I don't know about you guys, but I was sitting there.
Did you see what she said?
No.
She said there was more pressure at the SEC championship game for soccer.
No. Oh,
did you see the report that she got fired up at halftime because the sidelines were so low energy and that they were getting beat that she gave a speech?
Didn't see that. Is that true?
That's a Bleacher Report notification told me that. So, I mean, That's a little absurd.
I thought it was a valiant effort, and like I was excited that she was getting to play. I was hoping to see her get a kick. But, yeah, I mean, he's just
I want to see her make a field
goal. He's not a good coach. I think he's
was hoping that – I mean, I still hope whenever we play, I kind of hope she kicks the game-winning field goal on us. That would, I mean,
are they still going to play that game?
Yeah, they're trying to reschedule.
Yeah, they'll play the 13th or 19th.
12th.
Or 12th
I thought
that's
the A&M game.
No, they've moved.
They
switched.
Moved that
they haven't officially done that yet, have they? Like, isn't it just – hearsay?
Scuttlebutt.
I don't know. I don't know if it's officially official, but what I've heard is Florida, Vanderbilt, A&M.
Yeah, well, I think that he's also a victim of circumstance. Maybe if he gets to play Tennessee and he's able to beat Jeremy Pruitt, he might save his job. I mean, like, I know that's Yeah, of course, maybe not because he's a bad coach and his record spoke for itself. But that was the only thing that was keeping him at Vandy was beating Tennessee occasionally every other year, was helping him out. That's what I would assume. Like, well, you know, pretty bad. We know it's tough to recruit here, but you keep beating our rival. And if we can beat Tennessee, that's like a winning.
Up for that.
Well, and for Vanderbilt, yeah. For Vanderbilt football, that's what they want to do every year. If they can't do anything, if they can beat Tennessee, that's winning a championship to them. Especially for their fans.
Yeah. And so there it was. Vanderbilt went ahead and fires Derek Mason. So what, I guess in the East right now there are two vacancies?
Yes.
For now.
Currently.
For now.
Do you think any more are on the way? I know ours is a complete, you know, we've had this debate. We've had this conversation. Let's go other than Tennessee.
Hey.
Besides Tennessee, no. And, Tennessee, maybe not. I don't know.
I would like to officially declare that I think that Jeremy Pruitt will be out at the end of the year.
You're saying it right now.
I don't like when you do guarantees.
You're saying it right
now. I'm not guaranteeing it. I'm just declaring it. That yeah. I do indeed think that he will not be our coach next year.
Okay, so are you saying this because you've changed your mind? Like, did you have the other opinion and now you're...
Yeah, I thought that he was going to stick around whether I wanted him to or not. Just, you know, some things that you hear, some stuff like that, some feelings that I get.
What have you heard?
I mean, nothing in particular.
You can't just bring this up and then not share with the class,
Charlie. I don't
know,
you know, you're just your stuff that you hear floating around and you see places.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can only honestly hope. I'm still on it.
So, yeah, I'm leaning towards I do think he gets fired now.
Well, interesting stat enough, they were talking about it. Dave was talking about this before we came on. That 5-5-3 in the SEC last year for Jeremy Pruitt.
Mm-hmm.
Four of those five coaches are fired.
Ooh.
Four of those five coaches are fired. Only one of those coaches.
Mark Stoops.
And he beat you 34-3 this year.
Yeah,
he's the only coach.
He
still
certainly
holding
got
on.
His revenge.
So yeah, four of those five coaches that you the five games you won in the SEC last year for Jeremy Pruitt. Four of those five are fired, and as Brandon said, the only one still on, Mark Stoops, and Kentucky beat you 34-3.
Wow. What a wild stat.
Not
that's
good.
That's
not good.
Telling as well.
It's not good. And that's what people harped upon, I guess, about last year, about the win streak at the end. Like, look at who you beat. They look back at the schedule.
Hey, one of those teams is maybe going to win the Big Ten. Let's remember that. And not any of the other ones.
Indiana.
We do have Indiana.
Oh, no one said. Oh, no one said Indiana.
We did beat them. We can hang our hat on that.
We're one of the only other team that beat Indiana in the year 2020. Ohio State. Just saying, elite programs beat Indiana.
We can still claim that's our best win of the year. Happened in.
I mean, yeah, but if you're doing that, your year is not great.
Let's not. Let's not pretend like we're something we're not.
Exactly.
We beat a top
we're
10 team in the year 2020.
Hot pile of garbage. That's what we are.
You got two top five teams coming up.
It is. It's not good. I guess let's see. If you look back to the weekend, a lot happened in college football. Rivalry weekend in a lot of fashion. But I kind of had this takeaway watching, I guess, rivalry week or as many of those games that could be played. And I feel like there's a lot of those huge rivalries in college football that we need to be better or we need to be more competitive, but they're just not. And I feel like that's not good for the – I mean, obviously, it's just, you know, the way things are shaping out right now. But a lot of these rivalries were plenty one-sided.
Yeah.
Alabama smoked Auburn.
I mean, I just think it – I mean – are there any others that kind of stuck out to you?
LSU kind of, I know it's against my point, but LSU kind of hung around with Texas A&M a little bit. They only lost that game 20-7.
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, A&M's really good. They just, like they, I mean, it's like the game they had against Vanderbilt. Like they can look really good and just beat the brakes off of somebody. Or, I mean, they can struggle with a team like Vanderbilt or like LSU and just kind of barely get by. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get.
I kind of think that makes them somewhat of a pretty easy team. When we came into the season, nobody believed in A&M. Everybody's like, you know, Kellen Mond, he can't get it done for him. He can't game management enough. And a lot of people maybe not believed in Jimbo. And although that they're pulling those games out, so it's kind of like, you know, the definition of a good team too, even like when it's tough to still pull those out and then to still get some of those blowout victories. I think they're pretty decent. But, I mean, you are right. It's kind of tough to read them, but it's been tough to read a lot of teams this year.
They ran their way to victory on Saturday. I mean, they accounted for 160 yards on the ground. Mond didn't have a great game.
He was 11 of 34. I know. 11 of 34. That's hard to do against an LSU defense that made Bo Nix look like a Heisman candidate, and he was only 11 of 34 for 105 yards. Like, that's why I still struggle with A&M. I would still prefer – I'd take Florida over A&M every day, even though A&M got that head-to-head. I think Florida kind of choked that game away. And, you know, credit to A&M, they won, but I don't think that they would beat Florida consistently. I do think that Florida would beat A&M consistently.
Yeah, I think that –
Yeah, I do. I do too.
And also, sure. I mean, you look at – I mean, Florida, you're going to take that matchup. Anybody, you got to take that just because the quarterback. I mean, Trask is the real deal. I have to give Charlie that one. He's a really good quarterback.
He is. LSU is also that defense that led up the record-breaking numbers to Mississippi State at the beginning of the year as well.
Hey, the Egg Bowl was decent.
Yeah, there you go. That's the that's another one that I was going to get to. The Egg Bowl happened.
Wasn't chippy enough.
They won by 7. I believe it was 31-24 for Ole Miss.
I really wanted some more chippiness.
And, I mean, Mike Leach wins that game. He probably got a lot of people that, like, you know, not too pissed off about the season because you won the Egg Bowl. That's huge for them, you know, their rival.
Yeah, I mean, they're having to play walk-ons on defense at this point because of how many people have opted out or he's kicked out or had COVID. So, you know, they try their best.
It was a decent game.
Deserves some credit.
So, let's see. I guess over in the Pac-12, you had Oregon lose to Oregon State, right? So, essentially, in a lot of ways, we can kind of consider the Pac-12 champion. In a lot of ways, Oregon losing kind of lost a potential spot for the Pac-12 in the playoffs. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, you still have USC and Washington undefeated, but there's just nothing that the Pac-12 can do that's impressive enough in six games to earn them a spot unless there is just chaos in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a Florida, even if they lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game, I still think. Would you put a two-loss Florida? I mean,
over like a 6-0 USC or Washington, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's always going to be the thing. Like, I think if you have
a two-loss Florida,
I think if you have an undefeated Alabama team,
I don't know about two losses. I think you might get BYU in there then, right?
I don't know.
They're 14th.
Did
right
Florida
now,
beat
did
Alabama?
They lose this past weekend?
No, they didn't play, but they got put 14th in the initial playoff.
Yeah,
ranking.
The playoff ranking they got. They were
that came out Tuesday.
Like they were like eighth in the AP,
robbed,
and they got
didn't they?
They got
I mean
pushed down.
I probably would have had.
Well, you still have Cincinnati out there, right?
Yeah, they're number 7. I probably would have had BYU around 11 or 12, but at the same time, it is tough to argue for their resume when they've been playing teams like North Alabama and Texas State, and their best win is against Boise State, who was playing their fourth-string quarterback in that matchup. So I do think BYU passes the eye test, and I think their offensive line is good enough to compete with any defensive front in the country. And Zach Wilson's the real deal, but it's just going to be so hard to try to get BYU to have a legitimate case resume-wise.
So I don't know for Florida, like we're talking about a two-loss Florida team. I don't think they're going to get a second loss until it would come in that SEC championship game. But if you have a one-loss Florida team who beats Alabama for the SEC championship, but that's also Alabama's first loss, I still think that's a situation where 9 times out of 10 you're getting both SEC teams in.
I mean,
I think you'd take Alabama and the SEC champion Florida.
I mean, the Big 12's not getting anybody in.
No.
No.
I'm thinking of the Big 10 is weird. I know that wasn't what you were going with, but the Big 10 is super weird right now. Ohio State, they can't miss another game.
They'll get in.
We had about a 5-hour span on Saturday where Northwestern had a very realistic shot of the college football playoffs.
They poo-pooed it away.
All they had to do was win three games they would be favored in and beat Indiana in the Big Ten Championship.
And they cost me money. Started not to give a f*** and stop fearing the consequence. Drinking every night because we drink to my accomplishments.
All right, here we go back here on the Blitz. Hey, want to let you know this next segment is brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel. I got to say, it was good to be home. It was good to be back with family, and we went to our ranch and everything like that. But the one thing that I knew I was missing out on the whole time, Brandon, I was leaving our legal state of Tennessee. So I missed him. I missed all the great bets. I'm sure that you guys, though, being the smart cats that you are, I'm sure you guys made some money this weekend, though.
Well, I placed some bets.
Yep. This is where they say be responsible. I wasn't very responsible, but no, it was good. I had a good week of. I had some ones earlier in the week. I'm kind of like Brandon, and then towards the weekend, kind of tailored off.
There you go. I feel like maybe Thanksgiving is tricky because you know we're all not at work. You're kind of in a more relaxed environment. Maybe you might find yourself betting more and more just without working things to do.
Watching Mount St. Mary's play, and you're like, oh, I got to put some money on Mount St. Mary's.
What I am excited now is with FanDuel that we have all our college basketball lines every day, and that was very much a little refreshing time for me. I like betting on the college basketball lines, really get into it.
I was responsible, but I had two bite me in the butt. Two teams.
It happens.
I was with Charlie. Northwestern screwed me.
Gotcha.
They screwed me. I had a parlay.
Northwestern will be my enemy for the end of time.
Yeah, I'm
forever.
Really don't.
They really shattered your dreams, huh?
Life
you had
changing.
A lot.
Could have been life changing.
Yeah.
And then Texas A&M. I needed them to win by 14. They only won by 13.
Golly!
Oh, you got the last minute touchdown in garbage time to ruin your cover.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like that sometimes, Brian.
I had the hottest weekend of like my last like 3 years. So,
hey, I'm happy. Not bad then. Look, the nice thing about FanDuel right now is you can go ahead and place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get it to $1,000 back if you don't win. Really, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash, and if you lose, well, you get the entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone, take another bet on the house. Look, and with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets, those are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays where you can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. For instance, we were watching Bears-Packers last night. I know our roommate, he was waiting for a couple of things to happen. Do you know if it ended up hitting?
On that game last night? No. No, it did not.
Bummer for him. But,
I tried to tell him. Didn't think Rodgers was going to get 250.
That's the one he lost on.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers went under 250.
Yeah.
It's weird to think that they scored 41 points?
That's 41.
And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I guess the ground game was going.
Or Mitch Trubisky sucks.
Yeah, he also gave them a couple of points along the way.
How's that too?
So go ahead and look up any of those bet types if you would like. Once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they will get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code BLITZ so they know we sent you. Again, that's FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code BLITZ. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Guys, speaking of NFL, as we talk a little bit about that Sunday night football game, we saw something that has never happened before, or at least has not happened for a really long time. I believe around, 15 years or so. And that was Tyreek Hill's first quarter for the Chiefs. I believe he had 202 yards and two touchdowns himself.
Yeah, it was quite the performance.
Unreal.
Yeah, in one of my fantasy leagues, he got 69 points.
Nice.
That was his total on the game?
Yeah, 69 points.
Nice.
Nice. Oh, you beat me.
Two times.
Dang.
You children. It was a beast game for him, though.
I just want to know how Mahomes is going to throw for almost 500, and Tyreek Hill is going to have like 260, but they can't cover. So riddle me that. But they terrify me. Like, it sucks. Just sucks being an AFC fan that is not a Chiefs fan. Because no matter how good you feel about your team, even if you just beat your division rival on the road by almost 30 points, you get off the high of that win, you turn on the Chiefs game, and you go, oh my God, how do we ever beat them? We could go 16-0, see them in the playoffs. It's impossible. I mean, the only way to beat them is for you to play your best game, them simultaneously play their worst game, and you know, cross your fingers and send up a prayer.
Man, the to me, when you do these power rankings, when you talk about kind of contenders versus, you know, whatever tier you want, to me, genuinely watching this NFL season, there is one contender for the Super Bowl. And that's not to say that the Chiefs are the only one who could win or who will win, but ultimately, like, there is one team that stands out above the rest significantly, and I do think that is Kansas City. Now, obviously, there are a lot of teams vying for a spot behind them. As Trolley alluded to yesterday, the AFC South swings back in the Titans' favor as they do take down the Colts. So, I don't know. We kind of predicted. I felt like we were all in unison that it could happen. Titans and Colts split the season series. They both pick up a win on the road. As, let's see, the Titans won that game 45-26.
I was very excited about that, obviously, but I woke up this morning and I was like, yeah, I respect Brandon Ork. He's a nice guy. He's never really said anything that wrong to me about the Titans and the Colts. I respect Colts fans. I'm just going to be happy about the win and let it be and be kind to him. And then when we sat down today, right before the show started,
yeah,
he said, I hope Derrick Henry snaps his leg and I would be happy about it. I said, he's a pretty good guy, Brandon. That's a little rude. No, I wouldn't care one bit. I hope he snaps his leg. So you know what, Brandon?
You don't have to apologize for
I hope your day was rude. I hope your week is rude. I hope you lose twice to the Texans and the Raiders, and you're miserable, and you don't even go to the playoffs. You guys got dominated, and you want to sit there and whine, well, we didn't have DeForest Buckner. We didn't have DeNico Autry. We were playing our third-string left tackle.
I'm not whining.
We have nine players that were out.
I'm not whining. We sucked yesterday.
And we dominated the Colts. Absolutely dominated them. Philip Rivers is just not a good quarterback. And now the
AFC
South.
You won. Take it in stride, Charlie. You sound like a Titans fan right now.
Shut up.
Act like you've been here before.
Shut up, Chan.
Act like you've been here before.
Oh, I'm sorry. You enjoying another primetime win over the Bears that America's forced to watch?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you're doing over there?
You just like you who loves the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
You couldn't beat the Colts. You couldn't beat the Colts.
Just like you.
Oh, just wait till Sunday Night Football, December 27th, Chance. I'm going to be all up in your ears.
Oh, write it down.
All up in my ears. The Packers are about to get smoked. Well, not about to.
Right,
it's still like
ears.
3 weeks away.
All up in my ears.
Getting smoked. Smoked.
I want to see this.
That's what you're getting for Christmas. It's just a pile of bricks dropped on you.
From Derrick Henry.
On Sunday Night Football, nonetheless.
I love Fired Up, Charlie.
Hey, but Derrick Henry, by the way, if he gets 149 yards a game in the last five, he'll pass 2,000 yards. You know, put him on 2,000-yard watch. It's not out of the question yet.
Now that... that did not disappoint.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an automobile accident, you deserve the best. With over 20 years' experience in car and semi-truck accident cases, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III have the expertise to handle your case and get you the money.
It's a fan run radio.
So, I don't know if y'all got a chance to see this, but on Saturday night we had the widely, widely anticipated matchup between Iron Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. You guys got a chance to see this fight?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people talked about it. I mean, yes, you did, the draw was silly at the end, but that was like the celebrity judges and really not good. Somebody's like, when you have these judges, you shouldn't expect anything less. But, like, it was good to me, maybe just because of nostalgia for me growing up watching these guys box. I mean, the Fight Night video games with Roy Jones, EA Sports, and then, I mean, obviously just growing up watching Tyson. But, like, Tyson was engaging, and it was no sparring match to him. I mean, he was trying to knock out Roy Jones, but Roy Jones Jr., you know, stayed away with the blocks and just, like, constantly, you know, he didn't get within range. And he constantly just grappled with him. And just,
I was only watching Tyson.
He kept clinching. You could tell he didn't want to fight. You could really tell. And that's what they talked about, too.
A couple things.
Yeah.
First, Snoop Dogg. Pre-fight was great.
Stole the show.
I mean, during
the show.
He was during the Nate Robinson fight and during some of the Tyson fight. I think Snoop has
He looked like my uncle's fighting.
Yeah, in the backyard. He has a future.
And then
and some broadcasts.
While he was like performing before the fight started, the stream that we were watching had the you've seen the video of the cat, the little white cat, like
you were watching that were you on stream?
You know the white cat video?
Was it like, up in like the top right corner? Okay, I think we were on the same one.
Yeah, it was just like the cat was jamming to Snoop Dogg.
I thought it was part of it at first. Cause, I mean, it was
I did too.
And
then
Snoop smoking a blunt ringside.
Yeah, it was. He's the greatest. He was so good.
Mike Tyson might have been too, apparently.
Yeah, that report came out.
He said he was.
Yeah.
But also, I really enjoyed seeing Jake Paul knock out Nate Robinson. Not because I like Jake Paul, I love Nate Robinson, but I just love seeing someone else put another human to sleep like that.
It was great. It'd be a meme forever for Nate Robinson. Yeah, but he's taking it in stride, though.
Did you see all the Nate Robinson challenges?
Oh, yeah, Nate Robinson challenges.
Man, he got put to sleep, too.
He did. It just shows everybody can't box. Boxing is definitely
I think that's the thing. Like it obviously shows, you know, I don't really know how much longer celebrity boxing is going to last because I do think that people are going to see that and be like, oh, wait, that is a bad look. Like,
if you actually would have trained longer than probably like 6 months or something for this, who knows? Like, I mean, maybe it'd been, I mean, like Charlie said before we started the show, Jake Paul has been boxing for like, you know,
like a decade.
I don't know how many years
he's
it has been. But I know he's
fought and won in fights before.
No, he's had a professional fight before.
Sure. Yeah, and had like 6 inches of reach on Nate Robinson.
Yeah, the obviously the height thing, but let me go.
Who consulted Nate Robinson?
Let me go back to the Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. because the thing ended in a draw, and I don't know. I thought for what we saw, and my money, I thought that Mike Tyson had won, but it goes to a draw. Watching what you saw, do you think that there is a future for this type of boxing? Do you think that's anything that kind of revives the sport, or is this something that, you know, you saw, you watched how it happened, and you're like, nah, I don't really know if I need to see 250, you know, a 52-year-old guy.
Is going to revitalize boxing?
No, I mean,
obviously
there's not
to that extent, but I mean, draw some people.
No,
in,
I don't need to see that.
To
again.
The idea,
I don't need to see that again.
They asked Mike Tyson if he would want to do something like this again, and he said, "Yeah."
But
yeah,
do you want to see it again?
Do
after
I want
just
to see
seeing
it again?
People will watch Tyson again. They will watch Tyson.
I mean, I guess I'd watch.
I mean,
it again,
if I could, I mean, I want to see him. I want to see him go at it. Like Chance was saying, I don't think Roy Jones. I don't think he was.
No,
I
he,
think
was he was definitely. He. I mean, he talked about the hits were hurting him. I mean, Mike got some nice body shots in on him. He got one jab in on him, but like he was constantly evading. Getting close to actually, no, it wasn't Roy Jones in his heyday boxing. He was evading the punches. I mean, like, staying away, just moving around the ring. Let me clinch with you. Let me clinch with you. Let me clinch with you. I mean, they did that over and over.
I think that
and you could
thing.
See that Tyson was getting pissed off when he kept clinching. Like, he's looking at the ref like, man, like, you know, you see this. Like, so he was definitely, I think that I would watch Tyson again. I think most of America would watch Tyson again. You got Jake Paul calling out Conor McGregor. That might be pretty interesting. I think
he
Conor
called
will,
out everybody from Conor.
I think
McGregor
Conor will kick his ass though.
Other YouTube guys,
because Conor did a good job versus Floyd. So I think he'd kick Jake Paul's ass.
Oh, I think Conor would. Oh my god, I think
he would murder
him.
But like, I think you still might see some of these celebrity fights. I mean, boxing, it's trying to get back with the stars they have now. I mean, you got the Spence fight coming up, and then on New Year's Eve you have Fury Wilder too.
Right.
So, I mean, that's another one. You still got Anthony Joshua out there that people still follow. I mean, you got Canelo. You got Triple G. So there's still some stars they have now. But if they don't keep elevating those stars and get into big matches in big primetime slots, like, this was pretty perfect. Although it was just, you know, an exhibition, but it was pretty perfect timing, I thought.
Yeah, and I certainly didn't mean revitalize the sport as in bring it to any back kind of mainstream level. But, I mean, even right now on this show, we are spending a couple minutes talking about boxing for the first time since months. Like, it's been months and months and months. So even this, you know, the Mike Tyson fight is what brought us to it. That's obviously the first time I have gone and sought out a boxing stream in a long time. So, but for me and my take, I don't know if I need to see it again. I guess if it's gonna happen, I'm gonna watch. But if you got guys in there who are scared of getting knocked out, then I feel like you just have a ceiling. And with Roy Jones Jr., kind of just seemed like, hey, he just didn't want to get knocked out, certainly. So he kind of had a ceiling.
No, he didn't. He didn't want to. I mean, he's pound for pound one of the best boxers of his time. He didn't want to go out there and get embarrassed. I mean, he looked out of shape. He definitely was not in prime shape. Mike Tyson looked in better shape. But yeah, like, I mean, for me, I'm always going to choose boxing over MMA if there's a good boxing match on. But it's not the same for most Americans unless they start elevating their matches and really get back into some key boxing matches.
Sure. I totally see where you're coming from there. All right, guys, that is kind of we're kind of winding down hour number one here. Coming up soon in the second hour, we got a ton still on the menu to talk about. I do want to get a little bit more into some of the NFL games over the weekend, including, I mean, the crazy story out of Denver. How about the Broncos having all of their quarterbacks out for the weekend due to COVID and contact tracing? Denver requesting with the NFL the opportunity to move that game to Tuesday. The NFL saying no, and Denver having to play yesterday's game with no active quarterbacks on the roster. Wild story there. We'll kind of get into some of this other stuff. And then we do want to bring it back and talk a little bit about Tennessee basketball and Tennessee football here at the beginning of the week. Again, wild to think about, but it is Florida. It is Florida week, which, again, crazy to think about. Hey, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's just really tough to, like, really get into it. Like, normally Florida week, even though years pass.
Yeah, usually the season is a complete disaster by the time we play Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're so excited about it being at the end of the season.
Yeah, this Florida at the end of the season, not great.
Yeah, we were thrilled about it being at the end of the year, but we weren't necessarily expecting to be crawling to the finish line at that point either.
There's rumblings that it could precipitate frozen material a little bit Saturday, snow.
Are you praying for a suspension of the game?
No. I'm praying for a snow game. Because if we're going to lose, we might as well do it in some snow. That'd be a lot of fun.
Do you think that's going to help Tennessee win?
Honestly, maybe it would.
You and your hope.
I'm not saying like it would make us win. I'm saying like maybe it could help a little bit. At least cover the spread. I don't know.
Guys, our phone lines are still wide open in case you would like to join in on the show today.
I hate how you're so positive about the Vols.
Hey, positive is fun. You should live life like this.
And yes, life, not Tennessee football. Life, yes. Tennessee football, no. It's let you down too many times.
Those are the same
thing. Keep the cup on. Hey, right now, phone line still wide open as we move into the second hour of the show in case you would like to call in. Your phone number to do so, 865-546-8200. Look, if you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helmy.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. That's g3helmy.com. Hour number two of the Blitz coming up next.